All right, man. Welcome to Pro 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 669. Jason Lingren is with me, and Kyle and Serena join us for the fourth time from Tippy Canoe Herbs. Welcome, Jason.
And a rather pleasant good morning.
How goes it? We're starting to melt here. I've had a foot of snow on the ground for, a couple weeks anyhow, with ice on top, and it is finally melting.
We're in recovery already, and I love it.
I can't wait to get my scope out. I am hoping and praying that I can do that early in March, but let's get on with it. Welcome, Kyle and Serena.
Hello. Greetings.
Hello. How are you?
Good to have you guys back. This is your fourth time joining us. The past episodes that Tippy Canoe has been on is 410, 451, and 509. Anyhow, why don't you tell folks where they can make contact if they wish, or a website, anything like that you'd like to put out there.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to be back. Thanks for having us back. And our website is tippycanoeherbs.com. From there, you could find our classes. You could find links to some of our media. We have a new podcast that we just started called the Resin Nature Podcast. And all of our herbal products as well are there. So that's just the hub to go to, and you'll find all our stuff there. We have an Instagram, tippycanoeherbs, but go to tippycanoeherbs.com, and then you can get in touch with me from there too as well.
Okay, perfect. Will you be taking contacts? We're basically going to be covering a natural birth here once again. They did this once before. They've just gained another family member. We're going to cover this again, and as herbs played into it. Jason, you want to add anything before we jump in here?
Well, I did have the pleasure of meeting them a few years ago at a festival, and great people. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it sure was. Thanks, Jason.
Okay, so perfect. I think we're going to jump in on the topic of fertility. And just out of the gate, this is the second time around for you two to do a natural birth. And I haven't even asked, did you guys do this at home?
Oh, yes. They were both home births. Mm-hmm.
And was this a water birth or otherwise?
No, it was not. Although the second one was very in proximity of water because it was on the toilet.
It was the throne of the Scorpio. That's what we call it.
So right out of the gate, I noticed the first bullet point you put down was Nourishing Tradition books, both volumes. So let's talk about that for a second. That was the first bullet point you put down.
So yeah, because we were thinking about resources for natural health and baby health, and Sally Fallon is a great author to look at, and she wrote these two books. One is called The Nourishing Tradition, which is all about nutrition and is about nourishing food. And the other one is specific for baby and childcare. It's called The Nourishing Tradition, a book of baby and childcare, which is a good reference for, I guess, first-time parents if they want to go the natural route.
The things about some of these resources that was so important for us as a family is reading them together. And so when we're reading, absorbing this information together, one of the things I like to joke about is there's the saying, you are what you eat. I say, you are what you consume. So the media that we're consuming, now instead of watching TV or whatever at night, we're reading these books together, or she'll read them and report them to me. And then we're having a conversation and talking about them. Now we're getting on, pardon the pun, the same page. And then our food is intended. These books are recipe books. They're intended for creating these recipes and for food. Now our biome's on the same page. Now everything that we're doing and we're talking about, and then we can get into the herbs too, but we're just going into resonant frequency together, and we are inviting the grounds, so to speak, for new life to come.
As far as media is concerned, is there anything positive you can even get out of it anymore? Like, Serena, what did you think getting bombarded with American media when you came here?
Oh, we consume very little media. We don't have a TV, and I try to veer off of anything that upsets me, because pretty much everything that is shown in the media upsets me right now. So I try to abstain from it and gain in better mental health.
The thing is that we're in this era of the individual being guided by an algorithm. So we could be in the same room looking at the phone together, right? And we're getting two different, completely different views of reality through the algorithm. And when it comes down to the books and holding these books and discussing, looking each other in the eye, drinking the teas that we're preparing for each other, eating these foods that we're preparing, fasting, praying, all this stuff together, that's where we become a resonant frequency with each other.
And it's not being changed in real time right before your eyes.
Exactly. Well, in a way it is, because right, it's being changed in real time according to nature's design.
It's kind of a big deal. As everybody is aware, reading books has really fallen off, particularly for the younger generation. It's gotten to the point now when I meet people and I talk to them, I can almost guess whether they read books or not just by speaking to them. And how old is your firstborn?
He's going to be 4 in 2 days. Actually, exactly 4 years ago, at the exact moment, I was in labor.
Yeah, wow.
Well, so it's a good
time.
So
if you do the math, you could tell that the first labor was about almost 2 days. So
at 4 years old, is he taking an interest in books at all?
Oh, yes. We constantly go to the library. He has his favorite ones. We're doing 1,000 books before kindergarten. Yeah, we're probably already over 1,000 already.
Yeah, he's probably read at least 1,000 books by now.
I mean, this is one of the most foundational things, is if somebody is a book reader during their life or not. But let's shift back around. Let's pull it towards the home birth. Let's pick up. How did you guys plan for it this time, your second time around? How did you plan for it? And what were some of the things you did to prepare for the birth?
So we decided both times to go with a midwife, just for peace of mind, because I didn't feel at ease to just go all in by myself. I just wanted like just a helping hand. And the second time was a little different than planned. I mean, I had scheduled, we had just recently moved, so we had big plans of having a water birth in a new tub that we just had refinished, and the plans were, we couldn't follow them because the works for the bathroom remodel were still going on. Freddie was born like 2 or 3 weeks before the planned due date, so... We were not ready. I was not, absolutely not ready. And also there's this thing that I found very common when I talked to other ladies that had second child, that there's this sort of denial. Because the first time you don't know what you are going through. So there's all these feelings and emotions and physical perceptions that are like mysteries. And your body doesn't really know how to decipher them. And the second time your body goes through it, it kind of knows, but it's less intense because your body has already gone through that. So I was in complete denial. I was like, no, I don't think this is happening right now. This must be just the baby adjusting. There's no way it's going to come this early. And so I didn't even call the midwife that early on.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Is this an actual midwife or a doula?
It was an actual midwife.
Okay. Licensed and all that. And how did you get the midwife?
We just met her by chance. She came to us in the shop once and we were just chit-chatting and she was like, oh, I'm a midwife, I do home births. And we were like, oh, we're trying to conceive a child. And like 3 days after I got pregnant and we had just talked to her. So we had our contact. Like, hi, you know, we talked about that 3 days ago and actually we would like to to hire you right now. So she was just sent to us. And she's very like-minded. So it's not like one of the strict medical. I mean, she has to have all of her requirements in order.
She let us, we're kind of crunchy about the legal stuff too, you know, you've done through your episodes. And so she helped us get through some of that stuff, even though we're her only clients that are trying to make affidavits about the birth and everything like that. But so the second child, our second child, Alfredo, when he was on his way, I was also in denial because in the first emergence of Davide, our oldest,
It took 3 days
and Serena lost a lot of blood. And it was actually kind of like a shadow for me. I felt like a little insecure about that.
I'm sorry. Are you saying the labor took 3 days?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The first labor took three days.
For the first. Yeah. She lost a lot of blood and it took a lot of work to get her healthy again, several months actually. And so when Alfredo was on the way, I was thinking about some of these herbs that I need that help with stopping bleeding and everything like that, that I didn't have on hand. And they're at my shop. They're at the herb shop, which is a half hour drive from here. And so that would be an hour round trip. So she's like, I don't know. I think I might be in labor. I'm not really sure. And I said, okay, well, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, all right, I got about 2 days. So I'm just going to go, I'm going to head out. I'm going to go do that. And I also wanted to give her a chance to be by herself because our oldest, who was 2 at the time, he was just, you know, rambunctious and he was always jumping around and stuff. So I said, let me just take him away. I'll give you a couple hours. And then as the contractor, who's a good friend of ours, is pulling in to
the one that was supposed to put our nice bathtub in which I was supposed to have my water birth.
Yeah, right. He's working on it. He pulls in. God put him there that day. And I said, hey, will you just keep an eye on her? Because she mentioned that she's going into labor and I'm not really sure, but I got to get these herbs because I'm afraid that she's going to bleed. And he's like, how about you just stay here with her and I take your son for a little bit. And 5 minutes later, the baby was born.
He just looked in the bathroom and I was like, I think I got a strong contraction. And Kyle looked at me and he was like, that's the head.
wait a minute. There's no midwife. You're there all alone.
We're all alone.
That's why I say like we just did not follow a plan. So we technically had an accidental free birth. So Alfredo was born. Kyle caught him, luckily. And
I had my shoes on that I was ready to leave the house, which I now lovingly call my placenta shoes.
Oh, man. Isn't there some kind of wife wisdom or something that talks about if you have a long labor the first time, it's different somehow on the second one?
They say that the second one is usually short, but I did not expect to be so dramatically shorter.
From the time you decided you might be in labor to the time you were holding the new life, how much time went by?
It was one push, one contraction, one push,
like 1 hour total. It's like, oh, I think this might be real. It took one push and it was out.
So the difference between the first time around and this time around in terms of pain and being exhausted must be like night and day then.
Absolutely. Yes. It was like no tearing, no nothing. It was just smooth emergence.
Looks like you didn't need the herbs.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine if you had actually gotten that car? It's a good thing that contractor did what he did.
Yeah, he lovingly jokes and he calls himself a doodler now.
He's right in a way. But Serena, you mentioned a funny thing before when you were talking. You met the midwife and then 3 days later you were pregnant. Did you sense the moment that you became pregnant?
I think there is something, yes. Yes. I don't know how to describe it, but there, I also don't know how to talk about this like in a decent way. Let's say that the act of the conception was particularly different and more magical than usual. Let's put it that way.
I felt it too. I felt like my perception of it was that there was a portal. In order to talk about this, sometimes I think in this parlance, we have to forgive that there's also sexual acts that aren't for the purpose of procreation. And this was much different. It was intended for procreation, and there was this portal. My mind's eye in this moment was that I was surrounded by ancestors, and it was absolutely incredible. It was one of the most incredible experiences ever. As soon as it happened, I was like, bullseye. Yeah,
so when you guys laid down, you were intending to expand your family.
Yes, we both time we were purposely looking for a child.
And this is where the herbal wisdom really starts to shine, is because we're trying to make our waters pure. We're trying to make our soil pure, so that in the Bible, in the book of Luke, Chapter 8 is the parable of the sower. And he's talking about throwing the seed out among the brambles, and don't throw it among the rocks because it will just die. And then he goes on to say that the seed is the word of God. But then in other places of the scriptures, the word is the creative portion. You know, like that's what brings life. And so could also extrapolate that for men out there when we're talking about fertility. And this is something that because I consult with couples and I consult with a lot of people for herbal formulas. And when it comes to fertility, a lot of times it's a woman who comes to see me. And I insist that we talk to the men about this particular thing too, is tending your seed, sowing it in fertile soil, improving the capacity that you have for that type of moment, that portal.
In the modern era, what you just mentioned, particularly with men's seed, it's almost that conversation is absent. There are a few people who bring it up, but they tend to be viewed as being a bit much, the idea of retaining your seed and all these other things. But you actually had this in mind as you were preparing to have another child.
This was critical for me. And it's like, what else can I do at this point? Because everything else I'm going to give glory to God and glory to my wife, because the most that I can do is improve myself for this particular moment. And we know deep down, or even logically, that foods that have their seeds have that potential for propagating themselves. So having foods with seeds, like you go to Costco and you get a watermelon, it doesn't have any seeds anymore. What does that tell you? Now, what does it tell you if you go to the farmer's market and you get the watermelon, where you could spit the seeds out in the garden and then a watermelon starts sprouting out? What does that tell you about the food that you're consuming as well? So if you are what you eat and you are what you consume, you also are what you have given away. And so tending your seeds in the most basic way, this is something that I think is a very important sacrifice, at least in this day and age. It seems like it's a sacrifice, but it really is. And it can be viewed as like raising the Christos, raising your vibration, but really it's just as simple as that.
So you mentioned Matthew 21 here, and if I'm not mistaken, that's about prayer and fasting, right?
Yeah. That's actually Matthew 17, verse 21 has been removed from the King James Version. And that was...
Come on, are you serious?
Yeah, if you go to your book and look at the book of Matthew, chapter 17, it goes 20, 22. And the reason why is because 21, Jesus is talking with the disciples and telling them, like, what can get rid of disease? What do you do to get rid of disease? And he says, prayer and fasting. And so if interpretations of that are like, oh, that's because, you know, they added that on afterwards. And so that's the reason why we took it back out. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. Then why would it have its own? Why would it go from 20 to 22? Also, by the way, everything was added on afterwards, you know, if we're looking at it that way.
So I just looked it up. I didn't even know that was true. It is literally lifted. So I went back to like the NIV or something like this. So if you pick up at 19, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we cast it out? So they must be speaking of a demon. And he saith unto them, because your little faith. For verily I say unto you, which tells us that he's speaking in spring, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, which is another cue for spring, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Here's 21. But this kind goeth not out, save by prayer and fasting.
So when did that change? Because isn't the KJV the most commonly used one?
Yeah, I think we're talking like 1850s or something like that. You have to kind of go back to that era to find the Bibles that have that particular verse. But there you have, again, the idea of the seed, the idea of moving mountains. How much energy does divine spark give? Generations, the ability to live throughout all of your life. All of that energy is in that particular moment. And through prayer and fasting, I'd like to put fasting in quotes, because a lot of times we think about fasting as abstaining from food and drink to the point where you're not actually eating anything. But we could also say abstaining from unhealthy foods, the foods that don't nourish the seed, and abstaining from unhealthy drink. Maybe it's time to stop having a six-pack of beer on the weekends or something like that. And it's time to get into the mindset of what it takes to be a father, what it takes to be a husband that can stand as a rock, as a mountain, that it shall be moved when it's time for his wife to move it.
I am impressed. So I did a quick lookup. Get this. If you go to a Christian-based site, they'll be saying, this is a critical verse. Why was it yanked? The main return from the mainstream is this. Matthew 17:21 was not removed from the KJV or King James. It is included in the translation. However, it is omitted in many modern translations due to its absence in the earliest and most reliable Greek manuscripts. And it goes on to say, again, it was not omitted. Then it says the reason for the omission. So there's clearly a cover-up going on here.
Yeah, I'd like to see that the same standards applied to every single verse. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I think you've hit it on the head. Let's see. The textual scholars believe this verse may have been added later. This is like almost a direct quote from Jesus, isn't it?
Yep, exactly. That's what it is.
Oh, my word.
And you know, you could relate demons and everything like that to the parasites or to that which is, you know, the archons or the things that are getting in the way of your mission. What is the mission? What is your mission? What is your ministry? What is it that we're here to do? We're here to make a baby. We're here to make a family. We're here to move that arrowhead of our generation further down the line.
Well, I think you kind of nailed it in your last statement. I mean, this is for generations. If you work with this mindset and you implement your activity and you get a new life, then all that goes. It's the idea of a love child, maybe. The first time you got pregnant, did you plan for it or did it happen?
No, we were planning both times. I was tracking ovulations and I was just making sure that it was the right time. But also it was like both time was the moon phase.
When we met under an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, a partial lunar eclipse, and that was visible in Italy. And then that same phenomenon in the sky, the night that, let's just say that Davide was, the divine spark of Davide, our oldest, was there. So the conception.
Wow. Would you describe both births as love children?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. There's a huge difference too. And I mean, I think it's really common for parents to look at their children as they're the most, you know, the best at everything. But I really do think that there's this spark in our children's eyes that is really present that you might not see from people who have come into this world from love or in other circumstances. And so that was there, that was there from the beginning for them. And it seems to be present to me as just a partial observer, but really from an impartial observer, as somebody who likes to look for that divine spark, that's the shine in people's eyes as well.
Well, there's that spiritual side, of course, and then there's all of the good things that you are consuming, and just as much to the point, not consuming. Everyone we've spoken to who has done things the natural way, the children have benefited so much, it's unreal.
That's true. We've done it time and again.
Yes, because there's, you know, they just naturally come out. There's no stress. There's no intervention. There's no forcing. They just came out at their own pace and they're welcomed at their own pace. So I'm not judging like my 3-day labor as being worse than my 1-hour labor, because that's what it was meant to be. That's how they were coming out. And we just welcomed and tried to make the best out of them. So take care of their health and my health when it was a little more challenging. But I think it's important to not force it and just let it be the way it should be.
We also recognize too that, like, you know, we're very blessed in this regard, and that plans change, and that by the grace of God, it's here, and by the grace of God, it could be taken away at any time. And this is just happens to be our path and our children's path. And yeah, so I just wanted to mention that too.
You know, Kyle, if I'm not mistaken, roughly 100 years ago, I don't remember if it was the Christian mystic stuff I was reading or something from the Rosicrucians, maybe even Steiner, there's an actual, I don't know if it's a whole chapter, but it talks about the circumstance of birth, and it mentions things like children produced out of rape, and they state that it makes an absolute difference. And they get into the idea, which is why I asked you about a love child, and the way you described it is almost the way I remember reading it, that there is a detectable difference early on in the life of the new child.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
So did you guys do any legal kinds of things in preparation for the second birth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done, thanks to Crow 777 University and all of the, this was actually a big change for me, was like actually implementing all the things that I've heard over the years on your show prior to our first, this was 4 years ago, and being like, all right, I'm going to get this ready so that if we do go to the hospital, which we were just about to, by the way, right, right as we submitted ourselves to the midwife's request and say, we have to go to the hospital because it's been too long, fever was getting too high. As soon as I said, hey, look, We got all this stuff. I got the affidavit. We have everything signed. We have all this legal stuff in place. Nobody's going to do anything to us that we don't want to do. It's fine. Let's just go. And as soon as that happened, boom, baby came out at home. Okay. So knowing that there was the power, the spiritual power in standing your ground, having your signature on the things that you write. Now it's different from copying and pasting. You don't copy and paste, but put it in your own words and stand behind it. And I really felt with that power, that spiritual power it was like, okay, nothing's going to happen to my wife besides me, you know, without happening to be discussed with me first. And then after the baby came, then we decided, okay, our first son, we're like, okay, we'll do the birth certificate and stuff like that. For the second one, we went around, around the horn a little bit and a lot bit and, you know, made a really great affidavit of emergence. This was something that I borrowed some terminology from our mutual friend, James and Elise from Family Fungi, and who are just legends in this field, by the way, of herbs and birth. And so we got the affidavit, and what I did was I went down to the courthouse and tried to get it put into the record with the clerk of courts. And now I have a legal standing affidavit that's on the public record.
They accepted it. No questions asked.
It wasn't no question. It took me a couple hours down there of like really hammering down on the pencil pushers who I'm like, I'm going to put this in the record. No. You have to make an appointment. Okay. How do I make an appointment? Well, you have to go up there. Well, okay. Well, then let me up there. And I go up there and they're like, okay, well, it wasn't the actual clerk, the elected clerk. It was okay. Well, I'll take this and I'll show it to her. And then, I guess, and I'm like, that's my original document. I'm going to need to see that back. I'm going to need to see that on the record today. And so she went and got the clerk, and the clerk was very abrupt and kind of rude with me, but she also stated, now I know I'm legally bound to put this into the record, so I'm going to do it. So that was it. It was basically getting to the top and making them basically forcing their hand. But there was a lot of questions asked, people telling me, no, you can't do that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So what didn't they like about it?
It's not their paperwork. That's what it's civil stuff. People are just,
because you're standing up for your rights and they want to control everything. It's really that simple, right? She stated to you what the truth is. I have to accept what you want on the record. But one of the reasons we do shows like this is because, to me, what you guys just did for both of your children is the biggest gift a new life can be given, bar none. That's my point of view. So what you're talking about here is getting your ducks in a row in case you do have to go to a hospital to protect your wife, to protect the new life, to make sure things aren't done that you don't want done. So just for people listening, he's going in to put an affidavit, and I'll have him describe the documents that he used if anyone wants to emulate what was done here. But time and again, Jason, have covered where people have gone in to the clerk. First of all, they can't get at the clerk sometimes, and there's assistant or something in the way. Secondarily, they make it to the clerk and the clerk refuses to put something on the record. So Kyle, can you just let people know how this is supposed to be done by law?
Yeah.
I mean, they have to take the document, right? And it doesn't matter what it is.
Is that they want to go to the file cabinet and pull out their form and give it to you, right? And I don't care about their form, because if I cared about their form, I wouldn't be here doing it. I would have filled out their form online and sent it to the state. That's not what I want. I don't want their permission. I'm giving my own account with my words. It was signed by myself. It was signed by Serena, right. and it was signed by our midwife,
which was the witness.
Yep, under the perjury, penalty of perjury, in front of a notary. Okay, get it stamped. Get two or three of those things. Okay, that way you have, because you're going to be giving away original copies, you want to make sure that.
What do they contain, please?
It contained the account, the factual account of what happened, you know, on this day. We were trying to get away from using legal terms and just putting things in our own words. This baby emerged
from the mother's womb in perfect health.
We could use other words too, like took his first breath, and so on and so on. And these accounts were witnessed by his father, and then shortly thereafter, the midwife came and saw that this was the case. We were working with the midwife throughout the time, and you know, it was confirmed that
born she was alive and healthy.
Exactly. Born alive, healthy, and retaining full estate and retaining full retaining full power of everything that also emerged, right?
So wait a minute. I don't want to breeze over these things. So basically what you're saying for people who may be first-time parents out there, if you're not familiar, you can go back to old episodes where we talk about the birth certificate. So he basically submitted a document. By the way, Kyle and Serena, is this in lieu of a birth certificate?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you did not do the state mandated birth certificates and all that. What he's doing is he's putting on the record where he lives that a new life has come into the world. It is not lost at sea. It is not dead. It is alive and healthy. He's done this through an affidavit. He's got it witnessed. He's done all these things. And Jason, I think if you would have heard all this before you asked him, why did they have a problem with him? You probably wouldn't have asked. Yeah. But did you guys get a birth certificate the first time around?
Yeah, we did. Even though I was aware of all of this, and even though I spent a lot of time studying, the thing that I really prepared for was the affidavit so that if we went into the hospital, nothing would happen. One of the things that I felt like we were both kind of unprepared for was what came after our first, you know, like after our first, what to expect. We were completely exhausted.
Oh, yeah, because as a first time, you know, as a first bird, all of your focus is on the act of emergence itself. So everything we have studied, everything we prepared for was that performance. And that was all the concern. And then what happens right after wasn't a little out of our sight for the first time.
Yeah.
And we just weren't aware of it because, you know, it's happening for the first time. So the second time we knew how it would have been and we knew what comes afterwards. So we got a little more prepared and we just prepared all these documents and studied a little more.
Were you guys on the same page? Sometimes we talk to couples and there's different ideas. Did you guys both agree not to do the birth certificate having gone through it the first time?
Yeah, we're on the same page. We're going back and forth. But one of the things is that, as you could tell, Serena's from Italy. She's from another country. We like to go back and visit her family once a year.
So we needed a proof that he's our son in order to get a passport, in order to get other documents that will allow me to go abroad.
Right.
So just to be clear, in this case, that passport may serve through the new life as it gets older, as normally a birth certificate would. Is that correct?
It's a proof of identity, so they have to accept it.
Right. It's not. I'm not sure if it's the same as the birth certificate, which I get the feeling that the birth certificate is a contract from the state, you know, whereas the passport is more of the identity. Especially considering, you know, you can have multiple passports.
Well, the birth certificate's doing more than one thing.
Right.
While it is kind of the beginning of identity, we've covered what gets done when it goes up to the state, but that's a different episode. I guess what I was trying to say is so many parents that I've met didn't opt to do the birth certificate get stuck after the fact wondering how they're going to proceed. And what you guys just did covers that base. For the little that I know about it, once you have the passport, then you can go places and do things without too much trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I would say read the fine print of the passport. There's plenty of people who have a passport that don't have a birth certificate. And you can think about the Amish and all that stuff too. You ever seen Amish overseas? They're they like to travel too. So you can get one. They kind of were wondering about what we're doing at the post office too when we're applying for a passport. But it's like, look, we're just following the directions here. And it's pretty clear. You just send in these additional documents. They needed a public record. That's what they need. And so that's what we got.
When you did the original paperwork, did that trigger anything with the Child Protective Services?
No.
Mm-mm, no.
Did anyone make a stink about you not doing a birth certificate?
No.
No. The only question that we had was our midwife, who was like, I've never had a couple do this before, but under my license, I have to submit that I was, you know,
that she attended
a birth.
She just left blank our names.
Yeah, we've heard this a number of times. If they are licensed, they have to do what they have to do.
And also, if something ever happens, she has records of my visits with her, so we can prove that I was pregnant and that I had a birth at that day. If something ever happens and they claim that he's not my child, you know, we have proofs. We have signatures. I was pregnant because I had the visit. That's probably the other reason why I wanted to go with a certified midwife, just because there's this international thing going on. I want to be able to leave the country with him and go visit family. So I wanted to have some sort of record.
Did you guys already apply for the passport?
We are in the process right now.
I feel like we're going to probably get it either today or in a few days from now. We've just been going back and forth with them, but I feel like they're just guiding us on what it is that we need to have.
Yes, because you have to ask for a birth certificate anyway, and that will issue a letter of no record because they have to look in their database and tell you there's no record.
Wait a minute. The passport people will issue that?
No, the state. Because the passport people want a birth certificate, but you have to tell them, well, there's none. So you have to ask to the state, you apply for a birth certificate, for a copy of a birth certificate, and what they will give you back, since there's no record of it, is a letter of no record. It's an official one on state issued paper. And with that,
along with the original documents, along with the public notice, along with the stamp from the county clerk, all of that submitted.
Basically, if you have a letter of no record, then you don't have to prove a primary identification method, but you have a secondary identification method, which is all these other notarized things.
So what you did with the county clerk is proven useful right there and then. Jason, this is a bit different than what we've heard in the past. So not only did nobody push back about the birth certificate, when they went to the state, they were simply notified there is no record and there was no hassle. Because we've heard tales where it's like, well, you have to do the birth certificate and I can't do this or you can't do, you know, just push back in general.
We'll see what the outcome is. We haven't received the passport yet. So.
Yeah, if by the time this airs and we have it, then we'll let you know in the comments.
Well, perfect. What about the image? Is there going to be a picture on the passport?
Yes.
Yeah. So even for an infant, they require a picture.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they put it on the floor on a white blanket, and it's just infant a little scared, but that works.
And in 2 months, it won't look like the same person.
Well, he's one, so it's like he has like some features that are not going to change much.
All right, so let's just quickly sum that up. The baby is born. Kyle or Serena, can you just quickly say the documents and the things that you did because you opted to not have a birth certificate, which is a big deal. And a few years ago, I don't know, maybe 8, 9 years ago, people were still very confused about how they were going to move forward having done this. And I feel like it's shaking out. But from the time you head out, is the first thing you did the county clerk?
Nope. So baby is born, have a affidavit that just describes the events. In my words, what happened that day? This baby was born into love, retains its estate, and so on. I'm using things that I understand, but that are also powerful later on when we learn more. Okay, so
time and date too, right?
Time and date. We're using the word emerge and so on. And then
we go in front of the notary.
Yeah, we go in front of the notary. They have it at the UPS store. Five bucks. 5 bucks a document. We're getting three. I would suggest if I were to go back in time, I'd say, let me get four. Just because they're very precious. This is the original document. This is our ticket to get out of Caesar's world in a way, or to put ourselves in that world on our own account.
I gotta interrupt you again. Can you just expand on that a little bit so people listening know exactly what you're talking about? You're opting out of Caesar's world. What did you mean by that?
Well, in the birth certification process, when the baby comes, then it's declared a birth. It's a vessel at sea and lost at sea. And the paperwork from the state that you fill out and you sign your name, that's their document. That's their information. That's their claim. They created that document, you're signing it, and what we're doing instead is we are retaining the claim that we have as the guardians and the guidance and the ones who witnessed this living child emerge, and we are submitting it so that our child can someday open a bank account if they wish, or someday open up, if they want to get a social security number someday, that's up to them. If they want to go into the world and do finance and banking and all the things, and if they wanted to go to public school someday and they need to have these particular documents, well, there's a trail of how to get there with what we set up. And so we are using what the legal world has established, and we're just kind of putting ourselves into that by also retaining our autonomy and most of all, our child, Alfredo, to have that autonomy to claim when he becomes ready for that. And so after we get this document, it's sitting on our desk for a couple of months, and we say, you know what, let's go down to the courthouse. I get my friend James Frosch on the phone, who has been my advisor in these things, and he helps me through it. And I'm getting really frustrated down there, and I'm going to this place, I'm going to that place, and he's getting me fired up. And I hold my ground, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna leave without a document. I want a photocopy that shows the courthouse on record that this has been accepted in record. And so what they do is they take the document that I had, the original document, and they put it into their file, whatever that means. But what they give me for $5 is a document that shows that it has been accepted. It has the name of the courthouse on it. It has the time and the date that it was accepted, and the stamp or the seal of the county clerk whose elected job it is to accept information from the public.
Any information.
Any information, yeah. I could go there and say, I could make an affidavit that said, I saw Bigfoot in the woods, signed under the penalty of perjury, and I want it on the record.
So let me see if you agree with that. I'm going to give a definition of what you just did. And for everyone listening, you know how people wonder, well, how can they take my car or anything else? Well, you register your car. Almost any time you register a thing and get a certificate, you're just using that thing. You don't technically own it. You retained ownership of your child. Do you agree with that statement?
In a way, because this is something that I was working through at the time, because I was like, I have to actually, do I really own this child? Well, what I own is the right to be this child's guardian. I retain the ownership of that.
Right.
But like, this is the thing. I'm like, I don't really own that person. You know, he's his own person, but it certainly ain't the state's. And it certainly isn't a straw man, you know?
If you had registered them, saying ownership, that's a pretty big word, but how does things like Child Protective Service come in and take a child? What right do they have to do that?
They have no jurisdiction at this point. There's no jurisdiction.
That's right.
That's what it all comes down to. There's no jurisdiction. So we just hold this up and say, where is your jurisdiction? This is my.
You didn't sign a contract. There was no agreement, which is what the birth certificate starts. For people that are interested, you can contact us and go back through those episodes. Basically, what happens is when you get that birth certificate, it's sent to the state. That's where all the magic starts to happen. And the egregore that will follow you, your whole life is created, and it's a whole thing. And it's not, years ago, people used to argue. I mean, Jace, do you feel comfortable hearing me say this is absolutely a fact now, what they do with the birth certificate? Because some years ago, people wouldn't have been comfortable with that.
I don't know about 100%, but it certainly is looking that way.
So even now, Jason is cautious about using that language. For my part, I already felt that way when we got done with sui generis. I mean, there it is. He followed every document. But we're coming to the top of the hour, so let's finish off with the idea we've done. You did the affidavit. Can you quickly just outline the other documents that someone might think about pursuing?
Yeah, you might want to think about putting an advertisement in the local newspaper, something like that, that you can also keep.
And what would that say?
Something just along the lines of, congratulations, welcome to the world. You know, it doesn't have to be so stiff sounding, but like, on this day, we're welcoming Alfredo so-and-so and so-and-so, and who was born into his father's arms from his mother in love, retaining full estate. Congratulations to the new parents who
Public record.
Yeah, another public record. You know, you just you can make some additional public records. It makes me wonder because the print is they're doing away with print, and is it sufficient to have a blog or you know a post on your social media? I don't think so.
Not
I think
for
it's
me.
Important to have the hard copy, right? Yep, so to have this is what I want is the hard copies, and I want the acknowledgement that the hard copy exists in other people's file cabinets. And these are the things that I'm going to be collecting and then sending in for future record, you know, the future records that are going to want these types of things and are potentially going to be keeping your original documents in spite of the fact that you send a self-addressed stamp envelope and a cover letter saying that is my property and I want it back. It doesn't always happen. And I'm telling you, so that's why it's important to get three or four copies right out the gate.
You know, what you've done here is I'm thinking about it. It may end up being a big, big deal when the digital IDs start to come out because you have not accepted the agreement for the new life. And like almost everybody does. So there's a presumption when these new things like the digital ID come that you're automatically opted in. It was a bit like when COVID happened and I was notified one day that someone put, it was quite a bit of money, $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 in my bank account. And I was like, what? And this is what we're talking about. There was a presumption that I'm part of all this. And when I went to the bank to tell them to get it out, they said, well, we can't do that. And I had to do this whole argument. Who owns this account? They finally did it. Well, it happened again. My point being, in my lifetime, I got the birth certificate and I've been presumed into everything all along. And what you've done here may be very interesting as everything begins to go digital because you have not agreed to be a part of it.
Yeah. We'll have to see. And that's part of the thing too. Is like, I don't know. I don't really know the whole scope of what I'm doing, but I'm starting it. I'm starting it with what I know. Here's what I know. It's a simple affidavit and I can learn from there. We can go from there. And well, when we get to the bridge that we said we would cross and here we are at that bridge. Right. But that's the plan. I don't have to know the entire terrain before I start just making my affidavit of what happened and then learn along the way. That's what also being a parent's about too.
Yeah. There's no guidebook, is there? So Serena, we're coming to the top of the hour. Is there anything you'd like to add before we take a short break and come back for hour two?
Not really. It's just nothing can really prepare you for birth. And all you can do is just try your best and get informed and just accept whatever comes.
Well, I admired what you have done. And for me, I think the intent really matters. Jason, anything you want to add at the tail end of hour one here?
Well, guys, could you give us a preview of what we're going to go into in hour two? And by the way, we didn't discuss too much with the first birth. So if there's anything else we should bring up so that we can compare and contrast the two, that should also be in hour two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we are definitely going to talk about herbs, which we haven't touched at all as herbalists in the first hour. So we're going to talk in length about herbs and old postnatal care, which is something that is pretty important for new mamas and issues like breastfeeding and all the herbal care that comes after the birth.
Okay. Can you please state one more time where they can make contact or find your website, please?
Our website is tipicanewherbs.com. And from there, they can find our Instagram account. They can just get in touch with us through the email. They find our products and classes.
And you get there's also a affiliate code on the Crow777 website as well for a discount. That's TIPPECANOE herbs.
All right. You'll find that on the sponsorship page. And of course, you can ping us if you want to ask any questions. That's going to bring us to the top of hour one for episode 669. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. They also get access to all the comments and forums. They get access to the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon. That has 10 awards in the world covering my past scope work. They get free access, exclusive free access to my current solar scope work, which is going to pick up here, hopefully early in March, depending on the weather. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back for hour two. And I'd like to wish everybody everywhere a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
belief is the enemy of knowing.